Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor with David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, also of Hotel Mars, and we're visiting with Michael Hecht, who is a genuine leader to Hotel Mars. Hotel Mars is a construction in my imagination. I do not believe I'll reach the planet Mars. I'm not certain I'll see man and woman reach the planet Mars. But oxygen is the hook that we have. And Michael, as the principal investigator on the experiment MOXIE that is on board Perseverance right now in Jezero Crater, has given us to understand that making oxygen is something that's imaginable. The chemistry is very straightforward. You need power to do it, and you need scale to provide for human beings. However, Michael, I come to you on this puzzle. You have an unlimited budget now, and the question of producing oxygen for a 4- or 6-person mission is a challenge. That's frontier thinking. You know, first you have to get there and see how you can survive. Not on the surface, probably under the surface. What I'm imagining is a Mars colony that uses lava tubes because they're hollowed out underneath. It would protect you from the dangers of the surface of Mars because a very thin atmosphere doesn't protect the way our atmosphere does. Are you at MIT, are you at JPL or NASA already working on that scale? And is that scale imaginable to fill a lava tube or a constrained space with oxygen on a continual basis so that we're manufacturing Earth-like conditions? Admittedly, the gravity is not anywhere close to what we have here on Earth. It'll change us. But maintaining an atmosphere that not only can make humans breathe, but also sustain plant life and agrarian life and growing things. Is that already on the drawing board, Michael?
It is absolutely on the drawing board. And let me give you an idea of how that will work. If we have, let's suppose we have 100 people in the lava tube, that's a really good start toward a sustained presence on Mars. That's a research station at least. Those 100 people, in terms of breathing and in terms of, you know, the things that they'll use in cooking and whatnot, will probably use 20 or 30 grams an hour of oxygen. So let's say 2 to 3 kilograms an hour to keep that whole lava tube community, you know, going and thriving. That's about the same amount that we're planning to make just to fill up a tank of oxygen for a rocket. So the lava tube is the easy part. We could do that if you gave me the budget that you offered.
Unlimited.
We could
unlimited.
Start that tomorrow.
Just write your own check.
Write our own check. We could start doing that tomorrow. I've always, you know, thought that doing a full-scale MOXIE is no harder than doing the one that we've done. It just is bigger and needs more power that we don't have on Mars. So, yes, we're ready to build that system, and you'd have one system maybe in the lava tube, and you'd have a much bigger one outside to just as a rocket fuel factory. And then we'd invest in the ability in robotic trucks and cars to drive up to the north where there's permafrost and ice, and to dig up ice and bring it back so now we can use water and oxygen to do chemistry and make fuel and all sorts of things that we need. And I even love the idea of having, you mentioned MOXIE in a backpack, of having something like, I think of the mini split units we put on our walls to do heating and cooling, and adding MOXIE to that. So we'll get warm air, cold air, and oxygen and carbon dioxide scrubbing all in one climate unit that we can put in our cars and our rovers and in our homes and in our gazebos.
David?
Does any of this lead toward and support terraforming, or is that a totally different topic and situation?
Terraforming on Mars, or on Earth for that matter, It's a totally different situation. I constantly get asked about the Earth situation. Can't you use this to do something about climate change? And the answer is, you know, not really. This still takes a lot of energy. And the first thing we have to use for climate, learn for climate change, is how to produce lots of energy without carbon dioxide. Terraforming Mars is the same thing. The scale is just too big to imagine the energy source. So when people talk about terraforming on Mars, they're talking about things like, you know, darkening the polar cap so they'll absorb more light, you know, things that can leverage the existing solar input and the existing weather cycles on Mars to change the climate, just as unfortunately we're changing it on Earth.
You mentioned the extracting from the permafrost, a water source that's necessary to sustain life. Can a machine get oxygen out of the water as well, not just the atmosphere, but the melted ice that we know is on the surface almost everywhere on Mars?
Well, that, of course, that's an experiment that many of us do, and maybe even junior high school, where you put a couple of wires in water and you see bubbles of hydrogen and bubbles of oxygen coming off. So, yes, once we have water, you could use that as an oxygen source. People usually talk, though, about using both water and carbon dioxide, again, like a tree, to at the same time make fuel and make oxygen together. And that might look a lot like MOXIE. Or it might be a different technology, but there is a version of MOXIE currently running. Our partners in Salt Lake City, who developed this little electrolysis unit, what we call the SOCs here, the solid oxide electrolysis, who are using both water and carbon dioxide in a process they call co-electrolysis to make two products, one of which is oxygen.
Michael, this century, you imagine we can do this century, yes?
Now you're asking me political questions. If we had the will and the budget, we certainly could. When I first got involved in human exploration in technology for sending people to Mars, it was back in 1996, I think. And Dan Golden was the head of NASA at the time, and he said, 15 years,
okay,
we'll be ready to send people to Mars. It's still 15 years, but I do think the commitment is there now and that this is going to happen.
Michael Hecht, Associate Director, Haystack Observatory, MIT, Principal Investigator, MOXIE Onboard Perseverance, David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, Hotel Mars episode, and I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.